Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, I'm excited to continue here our series on the process. I'm going to say lions and bears. On trusting the process, and today we're going to install our fourth installment. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the fourth week of our original series, Lions and Bears. You can go on our website and actually watch the previous ones. But today I'm excited to kind of shift gears and begin to talk specifically about the lion. And what we're looking at is the story, the iconic story of the life of David, and not particularly the usual one that is preached, which is how David takes down Goliath. But we have been studying the process in which led David to be able to take down Goliath. I know there's oftentimes we'd rather just start with the big one first, but God actually says, no, I'm going to start you off with smaller things and get you ready for the bigger thing. And if we're faithful with the little, then we'll be faithful with much. And that is a process. And so David didn't just wake up one day and just fight Goliath, but there was a series of processes. He fought the lion, he fought the bear, he fought Goliath, and then he stepped into his palace. The point is this: yes, we have a promise, but there's a process. We all want the promise. We all want the blessing, but there's a process. We all want the great marriage, but come on now. Help me, Jesus. Okay, we're going to have fun today. I believe in Jesus' name, all right? The word of God is powerful. But we're going to jump into this message, talk about the process, trusting the process. Someone say, trust the process. And we're going to jump right in. So before we jump into the word, if you did not get a message outline when you walked in, lift your hands and the ushers will give that to you. Points to my message as well as the verses we'll be studying this morning. And if you got your Bibles, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we have been dissecting these four verses here the last couple of weeks, verses 34 through 36. And we're going to revisit them one more time and extract some more meat out of those verses, some more carne, come on somebody, some meat out of the word. And we're going to feed on that for the teaching of God's word. Once you got your Bible and your message outlined, would you do me the honor of standing to your feet? And we're gonna read the word of God together. We have some seats open in the front if people want to come to the front. I know I got my jokes, but I don't bite, but I do spit. And this is like the, you know, like the ride they tell you, this section you can get wet. You know what I mean? So that's this section right here. But there's a couple seats. If people want to bring them up, ushers, feel free and go for it. All right. But 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. Are you there? All right. What we're about to read is David is making his case to King Saul as to why he is qualified now to fight Goliath. In other words, he has the faith for it. The Bible reads like this. It says, but David said to Saul, he said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Now watch this. He says, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he says, I went after it. Now, I want you to notice really quick that David wasn't looking for fights. The motivation for David to even kill the lion was because the lion was messing with one of his sheep. Okay, so David is not like a spiritual Ghostbuster. It's just, I'm going to go look for a devil. No, but when the devil messes with one of my sheep, when the enemy messes with something in my flock, mama's where you at? Dad's where you at? Come on. David was like, oh, no, no, no. And so the Bible says when they took a sheep, at that point, David now went after it. The Bible says he struck it and he rescued the sheep from its mouth. The word struck there literally means to beat it with the club. So he like, bam. He's crazy. Come on, somebody. So the lion dropped the sheep. The Bible says, when it turned on me, he says, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. So the lion then tried to mess with David. So it's like, oh, now you want to mess with me? Let me take my earring. Come on, mama, right? He started going for it. And so then he struck and killed the lion. Now, I know this is like, how in the world did this happen? We'll break it down in a second, all right? But someone say supernatural. Okay, so you got to get your eyes off the natural. Verse 36, he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. David realizes the process of his life, that God had prepared him for this. He says, like God helped me kill the lion, like God helped me kill the bear, I'm going to kill this big old Goliath. But there was a lion, there was a bear, there was a Goliath. But before you'll ever get to your Goliath or your palace moment, you first got to get through your lion. I want to talk to you today a message that I've entitled, There Are Naysayers and Lion Slayers. Naysayers and Lion Slayers. I believe today God wants us to be lion slayers. Someone just say amen. Bow your head and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we zoom into this portion of scripture. Bible says every word is God inspired and is profitable for teaching, rebuking. It's profitable to help us, to make us into the men and women of God. And so this morning we yield to you our hearing, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And Father, I pray this morning that you would carry every word over this microphone with the Holy Spirit and penetrate the hearts of believers, the deep cataracts of their spirit, their soul, their heart, and their mind, Father. Give me the grace to communicate this message for your glory, and may we walk out of this room, Father, that much more realizing who we are in Christ. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen. Give God one more clap because he's worthy of it. You may be seated and tell the person next to you, don't be a naysayer, be a lion slayer. Tell them that. And we also want to welcome all those going to watch this on our program, Our Heart After God, and also listen to this via podcast. You're in the room with us. Hey, quick fun fact about me, if you didn't know this, is I am one of five boys in my family. And it's important you know that because I grew up with a bunch of brothers, and there was a lot of saying going on. You know, my mom, she had five boys, and she's a woman full of faith. She was obviously chasing the girl, but it's okay. You ended up with five boys. Come on, somebody. And they actually thought I was going to be a girl, believe it or not. I just had that revelation. I remember she's like, we thought you were going to be a girl. You know, back in the day, they didn't have the technology they have today. You know, today they got like, you know, you could see the facial expressions at 6 weeks. And you're like, how's that even possible, you know? Anyway, you know, they're like, oh my goodness, has my cheeks, has my eyebrows. Like the baby is 8 weeks old. Anyway, I mean, but you know, nowadays they got all that stuff going on, but they thought it was gonna be, I was born, I was like, surprise, not a girl, sorry, you know? And my nursery was pink and all that stuff to like make it a different color, come on now. But anyway, I grew up, I'm the second oldest of five boys, and you know, mom, I mean, she deserves every blessing. I mean, she's 4'11" on high heels, and she does not play games. Come on, any mamas out there that don't play games, come on, somebody, where you at? All right. And so mom, you know, had the responsibility of raising five boys. Unfortunately, my dad has succumbed to alcoholism and substance abuse, and he had, you know, left, but God didn't leave us. God didn't leave us. And I just want a little side note. Let me encourage any single moms out there. Even though someone might step out, God will step in. He's a father to the fatherless. Come on, ladies. Come on, moms. God, a clap. Amen, all right? And so God stepped in, and you know, I was an angel on my other brothers. A fallen one, that is. Come on now. Anyway, that's a demon if you didn't know that. But anyway, sorry. Lord, help me. Amen. I got saved though. But you know, I was troubled. I was very troubled. You know, very, very rebellious to authority. I mean, I had issues. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. But you know, growing up with five boys, people sometimes ask us, they're like, what is it growing up with five brothers, like a bunch of boys? What is it like? And I'm like, it's like a jungle. That's what it's like. There's always someone crying. There's always someone with something missing, a broken tooth, a missing shoe. Come on. You know, I mean, it's pandemonium. Mom was at work working two jobs. You know, we're doing the best we can. But what was crazy, but one thing that we did as brothers that we did is we always like challenge each other. Now, not in a good way. So somebody thinking, oh, that's so cute. No, actually that's bad. You know, we would say things to each other like, I dare you. Like, and we'd be like, say I can't. Tell me I can't do it. And it was the dumbest stuff. Like, I don't even want to give you guys some ideas of stuff we used to do. But, like, the dumbest stuff, like, I dare you to steal mom's car and not let her know. You know what I mean? Sorry, mom. My mom's in the service. I better watch what I confess. But, you know, I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to go and do this. And I don't want to give ideas, but, you know, just dumb. I mean, we put our lives at risk for the most dumbest things just because we say, see, I can't do it. Tell me I won't. Tell me I won't. Tell me I won't. Watch this. And we would put our lives out there, and we would actually like naysay each other and challenge us to do some dumb things. And I thought about how in life we have a naysayer in our life that's actually challenging you, and you have an opportunity to prove them wrong, but it's not for the dumb things, but the right things. The biggest naysayer in the Bible is Satan, who says, you won't, your marriage won't last. You won't go to church. You won't have your mind together. But I pray that there's some people that say, devil, tell me I won't, and watch what if at least you don't know what to do, at least get a revelation of what you shouldn't do and build some for God. Tell your neighbor, say, the devil is a naysayer. Tell them, say, the devil is a naysayer. Prove him wrong. Prove him wrong, you know? It's like, if you don't know what to do, just don't do what he's telling you to do, and you'll be good, you know? But see, the reason I say that is because in the scriptures we're reading, the context in which we're reading, David was one of those. He grew up in a family that, man, they just tore each other down. I mean, that's all they did was tear each other down. As I showed you the weeks before, is that David was rejected by his own brothers. He was mocked by his own brothers, even by his own father. Scholars believe that David was actually born from a different mother from his other brothers. And it was actually, he writes in the book of Psalms that he was born as in iniquity, and he was kind of outcast as the only brother out there doing the work in the shepherd fields. And so David grew up with this sense of like always feeling like the one that was left out in obscurity, nobody watching him, nobody really caring about him. And he grew up in this atmosphere. But what's so beautiful about the scripture in the verses we're reading is that God is not concerned with what's going on around him or outside of him. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7 that God doesn't look at what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. I said, God looks at the heart. He don't care what you live in, what you drove up in, whether it's good, whether it's terrible, how big it is. God says, that does not impress me. What impresses God is where is your heart. And someone ought to thank God right there because he's looking at your heart. Say amen. That's what he's looking at. And single ladies, y'all just write that down. It's a good dating advice. I don't look at the outward appearance. I don't care how good his abs are. Abs don't pay the bills. Come on, somebody. All right. I don't care how much swag he got. All right. Oh, my goodness. But he's the one. If he's taking you away from the one, he's not the one. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, help me, Jesus. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Look at his heart, amen? Because there's some solid guys, but you guys, you ladies are so tough on them. I'm going to help the guys out for a second, you know? I mean, you fall for sexy Sam, but what about solid Steve? Okay? You know? What about the guy, you know, if your name, don't worry about who the name is. What I'm saying is, you got ladies, you got to understand who's who, and you got to understand who's honoring God. Someone give God a clap. Come on now. Say amen. All right? Tell your neighbor, say, keep your eyes on God. Say that. Okay. Listen, in the verses here, watch this now. David has an anointing on his life. Someone say, David is anointing. Okay, he has an anointing. And David, the Bible says, as soon as he's anointed, he goes out to the field, okay? And when he's in the field, the Bible says that he is given a responsibility. And when he has this responsibility, you got to pay attention to this. Because when David has this responsibility, he doesn't go look at this responsibility and complain about his responsibility because he's anointed. You know, I got anointed over here, so therefore, why do I have to be over here? Shouldn't I be over there? Okay. So we got to realize what was anointed here can still be anointed even what seems menial or mundane. Because we tend to think, no, my anointing is only for the palace. My anointing is only for the stage or the big thing. My anointing is only when I reach that big moment. That's when my anointing is. My anointing is not for here. But the Bible zeroes in that what qualified David to take down the big thing was what he did with the little thing. Because we tend to think, no, my anointing's only for big stuff. You don't realize that God is actually looking at the little stuff. When David was in the shepherd's field, watch this now. He was in the shepherd's field, and when he was in the shepherd's field, nobody was looking. Or was nobody looking? See, our anointing is not proven in public. Our anointing is proven in private. Oh, this is going to help somebody. Because that's where the anointing is proved. That's where the anointing is said. What is done in private, God will reward you openly. And so David is in the private room. David is in the shepherd's field. His brothers are not there. His dad's not there. Nobody is there to see this whole thing that took place and what transpired. But the Bible says what transpires in this, as we zoom in, you know, kind of get the lens and go, okay? In this moment, when he's right there, what ends up happening, the Bible says, is that a lion comes and steals one of the sheep, okay? And now David has a choice to make. Is he either going to A, be like, pobrecito sheep, too bad. Like, Mary had a little lamb, had a little lamb. Not anymore, you know? David had a decision. Or am I going to be like, wait a minute, that lamb is not yours, Mr. Lion. That lamb has been entrusted to me. And there is an anointing on my life. And this anointing on my life is not just for the mega thing, it's for the menial thing too. Oh, come on. I got two claps, but that's all right. I'll take, thank you for the clap over here from right there. Because we at times in those moments disqualify what we've been called to do because it's not a big thing. My anointing. No, no, you don't realize that you will need your anointing for the little thing even more than the big thing. Because the little thing, we're like, pfft. But the little thing actually is what leads to prove our anointing for the big things. I want to say amen. Now, when this lion comes, we know the end of the story, right? We just read it, and the Bible says that David chased the bear, and he killed it, and we just kind of read on, oh, he killed the bear. Okay, that's awesome. The bear, that's fantastic. Okay, killed the giant. Wonderful. Okay, Lord. Let's think about this. Hold the phone. He killed a lion. A lion. I'm not talking about a puppy. I'm talking about a lion. Here's some roaring facts about a lion. Get it? Roaring. Okay, tough crowd, the second service. Help me. Roaring facts about a lion. Okay, did you know that lions can weigh up to 500 pounds? Okay. A lion can run up to 50 miles an hour. Okay, this is how crazy David is. A lion, his paws are 10 to 12 inches long, like a foot. A lion's fangs are 4 inches. He has 4-inch canines, four of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 36 teeth. Can we all agree that Dave is crazy? Okay. You know, sometimes you need that one crazy friend. If you're like, I don't have any crazy friends, you're the crazy, it's you. You're the crazy one. I don't have any crazy friends. Then you're it. Their friends need you. Come on, somebody. All right. You know, David was like, I'm going after this lion. It's like, you are crazy, sir. Now, let's all be honest, okay? Put ourselves in the scripture, because we always like, yeah, amen, I would too. Come on now. Hold on. Let's all be honest. Let's say you were charged with this task of watching 50 sheep, okay? 50 sheep. I don't know if that's a plural. My wife will correct me later. Sheep, okay? Sheep is not a word. Okay, I know. I told you, be nice to me. Sheep, 50 sheep, okay? Ewes, I'm just joking. All right, 50 sheep, all right? Let's just be honest. Let's say one sheep got taken by a lion. Like, let's be honest. How many of you would be like, I'm gonna go get that sheep? Some of you are already making up stories. The sheep got lost, it got stuck, it fell off. It's a dumb sheep. I'm gonna tell my boss, that's a dumb sheep. That sheep was the dumbest one. You're lucky it's gone because that was holding up all the other sheep. Come on now, tell the truth. You're like, that one was like, it was dispensable. That one was most of us would be like, it's not worth it. I mean, are you kidding me? That's not worth my time, my effort, my life, my money, my response. Like, come on now, I am anointed. I'm supposed to be the next king. How can I put my life in danger over a lion? But see, David was an ordinary person. Something in David clicked that instead of being a naysayer or making up an excuse, something clicked in David, and we all have a natural propensity, me included, let's be honest, that when something comes up, we right away begin to mitigate risk instead of mitigate the win. We start to mitigate, well, what am I up against, as opposed to, well, wait a minute, what have I been anointed for? And so David actually, he's crazy. He goes after the sheep. And the Bible says that he goes after this thing. And David, instead of being a naysayer, David becomes a lion slayer. When he instead of could have ran away in fear, David ran towards the lion. And he ran for it saying, I have been entrusted and anointed. And wherever I am, I got to make sure that this thing manifests in my life. And he does it. Now, you need to know is that David wasn't trained to kill lions. Okay? It wasn't like David went through a training school of how to kill lions. He didn't watch the YouTube on lion killing. Okay? He didn't have a certificate on how to hunt lions from the University of et cetera, et cetera.
Okay? David didn't have, you know, the doctorate of the art of killing lions. David had not the education. He had not a prior experience. It wasn't like David was like, yeah, I killed 5 lions last week. Let me kill this lion now. David was not trained to kill lions. He was anointed to slay. Oh, God. He was anointed to take down lions. And the reality is, I want to set some of you free. You're making excuses like, I haven't been trained for this. I'm not trained. I don't have the certificate. I don't have the degree on the wall. When are you going to realize that it's not about that? It's about the anointing that's on your life. And if you ever got a revelation, he will lead you into that. Because some of the greatest things in life, there is no school for it. How can I train to go through my wife losing almost a four-month-old baby in our stomach? There's not a class in that in college. I'm not trained for this. God, of course we're not trained for it, but you're anointed to go through it and to slay whatever lion is trying to rip you off, is trying to steal something from your future. Someone say, I'm a lion slayer. Tell 2 people, say, be a lion slayer, be a lion slayer, be a lion slayer, not a naysayer. So we've got to be a lion, not a naysayer, because we will start making up excuses. When God's like, no, you're a lion slayer, not a naysayer. And so David starts doing this. You see, there's 2 types of people, and I apologize to categorize, you know, make such dogmatic categorizations, but for the sake of this message, when it comes to, you know, really thinking and battling these things, I believe there's 2 types of people. And number one, there are naysayers and lion slayers. Naysayers run from the lion. Lion slayers will run to the lion. Naysayers will say it's impossible. Lion slayers say nothing is impossible with God. Naysayers say you can't. Lion slayers say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Naysayers say it's not my problem. Lion slayers, you are the devil's problem. Naysayers say I'm not ready. Lion slayers say I'm ready to give it a go. Naysayers say what if I lose? Lion slayers say but what if I win? Naysayers say I'm afraid. Lion slayers say even though I got fear, I am full of faith and I was not anointed to run. I've been anointed. Oh God, I have been anointed to slay. Oh, come on, somebody. Tell 3 people, say, you've been anointed to slay. Tell them that. You have been anointed to slay these lions. I know you haven't been trained in lion slaying. I know, and again, you can connect the dots. I'm not talking about physical lions. We'll get to that in a second. But what is something right now that is trying to intimidate you? Right now is trying to steal something from your flock. It might not be necessarily, you're like, I don't own no sheep, Pastor. What are you talking about? But he's trying to steal something from your flock. It could be one of your kids. It could be he's trying to steal. The lion has come to try to steal your joy, to steal the love, to steal your anointing, to steal your future, to try to steal because the devil comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. I have not been anointed to run. I have been anointed to slay. And whether or not I've been trained for it is irrelevant. What has not happened in training has happened in the anointing of what God has in my life. And he is taking me through a process. Someone say amen. Just tell the person next to you, you've been anointed. Come on, encourage them. You've been anointed. You've been anointed. You see, this morning, are we allowing the naysay of our words to draw us away from our destiny? Are you naysaying your way out of God's greatest calls in your life? We make up excuses. We'll be like, well, you know, if it's God's will, if it's God's will, you know, poor sheep. You know, if it's the will of God, the sheep will come back. I mean, if it's the will of God, God, you know, if it's God's will, somehow it'll take place. I mean, and if we're hashtag real talk, if it's God's will has become the biggest Christian cop out. Well, if it's God's will, you know, my marriage will change. If it's God's will, I mean, if it's God's will. If it's God's will, you know, they'll be saved. I mean, if it's God's will, they'll be saved. Well, if it's God's will, you know, things will change. If it's God's will. Well, if it's God's will, maybe I'll finally start that business if it's God's will. And if it's God's will, you know, one day I might get married if it's God's will. Single guy, you ain't gonna get married till you ask somebody out. Okay? If it's God's will. You need to get a J-O-B, an A-P-T, and a C-A-R, and then, oh, Jesus, help me. Well, if it's God's will, you know? Look, quick. You know, God gave Adam a job before he brought him a woman. You know that, right? He said, tend the garden, and then Eve came. But too many single guys are trying to get Eve before the, oh, Lord Jesus, help me. That was free of charge, ladies, right there. That was, you ought to write, I see more notes being taken on that one than anything. Come on. Well, if it's God's will, it is the biggest Christian cop-out. Well, if it's God's will, if it's God's will, if it's God's will. And I understand that certain things are left to the unknown, but that does not disqualify us from chasing the lion. Come on, somebody. It does not negate us from realizing what God has called us to. What are we running from that God has actually called us to run to? What am I permitting to steal things from I am called to watch over because somehow I think that, well, God wouldn't want me to? Or are you going to have a revelation that you are not created to be a naysayer, but God has anointed you to be a lion slayer? I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what young person, what person in their 50s, 60s, 70s, that maybe you're tired of seeing the enemy come and take one and take 2 years and 3 years and 4 years and 5 years. I'm hoping that I stir you into a divine discomfort and you start saying, I'm sick of making excuses. I am not going to run. I'm not going to let him eat my future anymore, but I'm going to run after this lion because I have been anointed. Come on, somebody, to do what God called me to do. Oh, y'all better clap better than that. And someone just shout, yes. Number one, write this down. Let me give you a point. How do I move from naysayer to lion slayer? Practical point. Here's how. Write this down. Point number one. Quick. I got so much ground to cover. Is you've got to run to the roar. My coach used to tell me this when I was playing football. He used to tell me, he says, you're the beast. I'd be like, huh? Look how big they are though, coach. He says, no, you're running the football. You know where you're going. They don't. I'm like, you're right. I know it's a power right. They don't. I know it's a sweep left. They don't. It changed my whole perspective that I can run to it, not run from it. Yeah. Are they going to let me through? But so many believers walk that way like, I don't know if the devil's going to let me. Is he going to let us? Hold the phone. I've been anointed. Come on, somebody. 1 Samuel 17:35, the Bible says this. David writes, I went after it. I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from his mouth. David said, I went after it. Look at that. He says, I went. He didn't run from it. He went after it. In other words, he ran to it. Because here's the fact of life. We all hear the roar of the enemy. It sounds a little something like this. Hit that. We all hear this. Bring the lion out from the back. No, I'm just joking. Come on. All right. That's you're like, whoa, Freedom House is going next level. We got lions and stuff. All right. He's at the LA Zoo. All right. But that roar alone scares so much of us. The roar alone, we already run. Later, I'm out of here, you know. Forget this, man. We're high-stepping it from our destiny simply on this. You're like, that's what my spouse sounds like. Exactly. I'm out of here. That's what my spouse, forget it. The roar, see, oh, the roar got you. You didn't even fight it. It was just the roar. Hit it again. That's all you hear your kids. All you hear bills when you open up the bill. That's all you hear. That's all you hear is that over and over. Hit it again. Come on. Hit it again. You open up the bill. You get the report from the doctor. They tell you you're not going to be able to do that. And that's all you hear is the roaring. And the simple roar is we run from it when God said, I have anointed you to run to it and to, oh, God, come on, somebody. So run to this thing. Now, for some of us that are crazy enough to say, where is it? Then this shows up. Come on out, bro. Come on out from the back. And right there. For some of us, we're crazy enough to stay around. And you go, oh, Oh, snap. Chat. It's the lion. The lion shows up. The addiction shows up. The depression shows up. The papers show up. The bill shows up. The report shows up. The difficulty shows up. And it's staring you right in the face. And it has the audacity to go into your flock and take something. And we just watch it take our future. We watch it. And it's just looking at you like, you can't. And we watch it. Our future deteriorate. We watch our family deteriorate. And we watch the lion just walk off with our harvest. And we think, well, you know, if it's God's will, he'll like let it go. You know, if the Lord wants it. The scriptures actually reveal to us who this really is. Do you know that? The scriptures tell us. Because see, sometimes we want Jesus to go fight it. Okay? But the Bible shows us who this is. Put up 1 Peter 5:7. Watch this. This is good. Or 5:8. I apologize. 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says, stay alert. Tell your neighbor, say, wake up. Welcome to the service. I'm on the first point. If you're getting, I'm just joking. All right. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. Whose enemy? Tell your neighbor, say, your enemy. Okay? Okay. Why did it say your great enemy? Because the devil is not God's enemy. God has no enemies because nobody can step up to his level. Okay. He says, stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, who the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The Bible is showing you that this is your enemy. This ain't God's enemy. This is our enemy. And he says, he is prowling around looking to devour you, to devour your future, devour your walk with God, to devour your peace, to devour you as a church, to devour you as a family, to devour you. The Bible says you got to look, because this is coming after you. And we've got to fight this. Because the truth is sometimes we're like, God, you fight it. You fight it, Lord. You know, when I was in high school, I was a football player. My wife was a cheerleader. Cute one, too. And so she was a cheerleader. And she would be on the side. They'd be cheering, L-A-T-S-D-O, let's go, L-A-T-S-D-O. Okay. And so I'd be running football, you know, I score a touchdown, look over there, hey, girl, you know what I mean? Come on, somebody, you know? score a touchdown. And that's cool. I mean, it's great to be a cheerleader. It's fantastic. But you know what happens to Christians? Is we all want to be in the cheerleading section. And we want Jesus to be on the field. We want to be like, no, Jesus, you fight him. And we want to be like, go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go, go. And we're like, go, Jesus, get him. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. Go, Jesus, go, Jesus. We're like, go, Jesus, go. And we're like, yeah, Lord, go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. And we love that. You know, we love, go get him, Jesus, get him, go, Jesus, go. And we love to sing. But you know what David didn't do? David was like, he took the sheep. Let's sing a worship song. Let's write a song. You know what? He took a sheep. You know what? It's okay. Let's just go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go, go, Jesus. No, he was like, no, this is my enemy. And the fact is, God doesn't want us to cheer him on. God wants to cheer you on. That's why the Bible says, I have found a man after my own heart, watch this now, who will do all of my will. It didn't say who would watch God do his will, but a person that says, no, I have been anointed, I have been appointed, and I'm not going to live another day to let the devil steal what God has given me. He has given me peace. He has given me salvation. He has given me transformation, and I will do whatever it takes, and I want God to smile on my life and testify about you and your family that you were a man, you were a woman after God's own heart, because you didn't stay back, but you ran after it. Why? Because you have been anointed to slay, baby, slay. Slay all day and slay every day. Why? Because you are a lion slayer. Tell five people around you and tell up, you better slay. You better slay. You tell them, you better slay. You better slay. You, don't you be sleeping. You better slay. You stay alert. Don't you be snoozing. You better slay. You better get a holy. And I want to preach someone into a divine discomfort that you get so frustrated from seeing the devil rip off your flock, rip off your inheritance, rip off your provision, that you get so divinely discomforted that you walk out of those doors with the new attitude and say, I have been anointed to slay. Who am I talking to this morning? Someone shout like you're a lion slayer. I'm not no naysayer. I'm a lion slayer. Because check this out, oh God. Oh Lord, this is good. Man, I got so much I want to say to you. My biggest struggle to this morning's message was, what do I want to say? I got like 40 pages of notes. Pray for me. Don't worry. I'll end in about 2 hours. Just kidding. But watch this. Look at him. He stares at you. Okay? And most of us are like, go Jesus, go Jesus, go. But he did something different. David was like, no, not today, devil. No, you ain't gonna rip off my future. But the scripture reveals who this really is. Oh man, this is good. It says that, watch this, the devil prowls around. What does it say? Like. It doesn't say he is. It says he's like one. And he roars. Bruh. And did you know that the reason why a lion roars, there's two reasons. One is to hunt, but second, it's to claim its territory. And a lot of times why the enemy roars in your life is he's trying to claim your area as his territory. And so a lion, when you step into a lion's territory, they will roar, roar, like, why are you up in my neighborhood? And so you also need to know that's why when you hear the lion's roar, he's actually coming to try to claim your territory as his. And that should cause us to say, whoa, this ain't your perimeter. This ain't your territory. This ain't you. This ain't your place. Not my house, not my life, not my mind, not my heart, you lion devil. But the Bible says he's like a roaring lion, which see, because the truth is, he's a fake. He's not even the real lion. Because the real lion, the real lion is in Revelation 5:5. The book of Revelation is the book of reveal. And it's not until the end that we find out, but God lets you know the end from the beginning. So that when you hit a beginning, you already know how this is going to end, which gives you a heavier confidence and insight. But it says that the elders said to John, who was on the island of Patmos, do not weep, baby girl, wipe those tears from your eye. Man of God, pick your head up. You don't realize, but the real lion of the tribe of Judah is of the root of David. The root of David. And guess what, baby? He has triumphed. His name is above every name. His name, every demon trembles. Every knee shall bow. Oh, every tongue shall confess. His name is Jesus. Now watch this. And so we gotta realize that the real lion is not there. The real lion, it's in you, 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 it's right here. So you gotta look at that liar and be like, devil, you're the liar, you're the father of lies, and I know who you really are. That's who you really are. It's you are a... And then you see it, that he wasn't really a lion after all. But you were the lion. You're the slayer. He's the naysayer. Someone better give God a shout in this house. Oh my God, that the devil is a defeated foe and he's been wearing a mask all this time. Oh God, stand to your feet.
Give God some praise. Lift your hands, let faith rise up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let faith rise up. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. We're the real. We're the real. Not the naysayers, the real lion slayers. They say, wait a minute, but Jesus is a lion. Yeah, we're called to slay these fake lions. This lying devil. Who's ain't even real. Can I go a little deeper? Okay. Jesus is the lion and the lamb. What did the lion have in his mouth? A sheep. See, Satan always tries to tear down what God is in your life. And if you don't step up to that fake lion, it will be a false picture of who Jesus really is to this world. Because Satan is after the lamb. He's after disproving you're not the real lion and the lamb is dead. And on the cross, he thought, I killed the lamb and I'm the lion. But Jesus had to remind, oh God, He had to remind the devil, you thought you had me in your mouth? You thought, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? And Jesus done busted out of that grave, took the keys of sin and death, and guess who he gave them to? I behold, I give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth. And whatever you loosen shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind shall be bound in heaven. When is the church gonna rise up and find out that the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, oh, Freedom House Church is rising up to be a move of God that will establish, come on, and push back the forces of darkness. Would you worship him? Would you love on him? Would you declare?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you are blessed by God's word. For more information about Freedom House Church, visit us at thefreedomhouse.org.